How you're doing? Great. Here we go. Getting all flash here. Why don't we stand up on our feet now? Come on. And turn around and say hi to one or two or ten people. Say, hello. Good to see you. Okay. Be careful, though. Don't be too nice. People might think you're a Christian. Kia ora. Welcome. Good to see you. And big old welcome to everybody who's enjoying church so far. Great, that's the good part. Now it's my job to stir you up, get on the inside and provoke you to action. Praise God. If you're here today for the first time, welcome. We welcome all kinds of people, anybody in this building. So if you're a follower of Jesus, fantastic. If you're not, all good. We're glad you came. And we'd love to share about the God that we serve and that we love. Amen. I am super excited and pumped in my spirit. If you've just popped in, you're going, what's going on around here, man? We've been doing 5 days of prayer and fasting. Some of the leaders have gone beyond that. Just want to see God move powerfully. We don't want to just do events and just go through the calendar and let the days click by. Actually seeing real movement forward and seeing the power of God move. And so we've been studying the Bible. We've been praying, prayer meetings. We've been fasting. People are wondering, what's fasting all about? Real simple, really. It's about giving up things that we like to do because we want more of God on the inside. That's about the simplest explanation I can do. Now, I'm going to have to ask you just to help me out. Failure number two is I've not tied my laces up properly, and one of my laces is irritating me right now. So let me, oh, really? Wow, servanthood. Oh, keep the blood flowing there, brother. Good man. Wow, thank you, Info. There you go. All is good. Everything's getting a bit looser these days. Prayer and fasting. Now, I want to make sure that we're not in TV land. I want to make sure that you don't think you can just switch me on and off and I can't see you, but you can see me. I just want to make sure about that. Is that okay? Okay, first of all, what is the day of the week? Good. You can speak. You can respond. Okay, should we complicate things a bit further? Like, let's go to the next level of complexity. What is the date today? Now, some people go, yeah, 17th of February. If you've flown in from another country, can I just say, here it's the 17th of February, 2019. It's not February the 17th, 2019. We're very logical. We go day, month, year. If you look at your credit card, it goes month, then year. Not, I mean, anyway, that's what we do. 17th of February, but I digress. It's logical. Sunday, the 17th of... Okay, let's keep working on this now. I'm going to labor up front to make sure we don't just get into that kind of that drunken Sunday malaise and no response. Okay, you ready? You got two options. Chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream. Look at that mayhem. There's dissension in the ranks. You've got two choices. All those that would prefer a lovely big cone with vanilla on the top, maybe a double ball right there. All those that would prefer vanilla, hands in the air like you just don't care. Hands down. And all those chocoholics up in the air. Woo! There we go. Okay. We're still working this. I'm taking very valuable time because I realize we need to just loosen up a little bit. We just need to actually engage and talk. Communication is like two-way, you know what I mean? Husbands, have you figured that out? It's two-way. It's not just talking, it's actually listening as well, Richard. That's right, Richard. I'm just talking to myself right here. So, what is the name of the person beside you? Do you even know the person that's closest to you? Okay. Now, I've set all that up. We've played the shenanigans for two simple questions. Serious questions. as a result of the last 5 days, who here honestly and truly can say that their faith has grown stronger? Hands in the air. Praise God. Some of you are very glad I'm not asking, did you come to a prayer meeting? You know what we do in this church, man? We name and shame the whole way, I tell you. There'll be names out on the board on the great wall of shame, okay? Just saying. We take names and numbers, I'm telling you now. We got you. Who here can honestly say that God has, in fact, answered a prayer in your heart this week? Wow. Thank you, Lord. I would love to can my sermon and just pass the microphone around and hear your stories, but I can't. But I would love to, so thank you for that. Please put your testimonies, put your prayer requests up there. I'm super excited, and I just can't hide it because you know. Like the Pointer Sisters said, I'm super so excited because of this. We are going to extend our theme of great faith for 6 weeks. We're going to extend our theme, and we're going to look at people with great faith, not people with perfect lives. Aren't you glad about that? We're going to look at people who demonstrated great faith. We're going to look at liars and murderers, people with anger problems, people that have a couple of drunkards are throwing in there, adulterers, and just for good measure, we're also going to look at a sex worker, just like any average church in Auckland. Does anybody really truly have a perfect life? Sometimes stuff happens. And I'm not talking about losing the TV remote. I'm not talking about missing out on that incredible sale at Rebel Sport. No, I'm not even talking about running out of rice. Life, you like the jokes? You like that? You know, like context, you know, rice? Who likes rice? Okay. I like rice pudding with that little layer on top, Brian, with brown sugar. Baby, tonight it's rice pudding all the way. In fact, can we fill up the whole bath with light rice pudding? Wouldn't that be lovely? Are you lonely? She's all on her own there. Okay, she's got her bag. Every woman needs a bag. Okay. Life can be very tough. Just ask me. I know what disappointment, deep disappointment feels like. I know what sadness feels like. I wonder what you're going through. Just this week in my office, we had a conversation. We'll call her Tracy. She's not in our church. She's a customs worker, law-abiding citizen, lives in a very well-heeled part of town. Four years ago, suddenly and sadly, her partner died in a diving accident. Had a child, and she began to cry. She doesn't follow Jesus. She began to weep in my office, in our office. She's a border control person. She looks for things. She has an impeccable record. But she desperately was looking for relief. Just some way to escape the pain. The grief was overwhelming, and somebody offered her a substance. 4 years later, she's an addict. 4 years later, she's got to have controlled visits to her child. Traumatized by death. Traumatized with no answers except some chemical going into your body. Honest question. What or who do you turn to when things are really tough? What or who do you turn to when you go through really tough times? I mean, how do you actually get through something traumatic? Some people deny it. They just ignore it, hope it goes away, just bury the bills, maybe. Forget the doctor's report. Some people try to escape, like Tracy. This place probably doesn't have that many drug addicts, but some of us will throw money at it. We'll go retail therapy. We'll travel overseas. We'll change jobs. We'll change something because we want to escape or bury the pain. The goal of this series is two things. Number one, to look at and see what real faith looks like. And the second goal of the series is that God would expose every unworthy receptacle of our trust, that these unworthy receptacles would be smashed to pieces, and all of our faith for our meaning in life, for our purpose in life, our very existence, all of it would be placed securely in God. I'm excited. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to really expose and reveal in my heart and all of our hearts the things that we don't want to admit, but the things that we actually ultimately trust. And it may not be Jesus. Usually you can tell what somebody really trusts or who they really trust by where they go when trauma happens. Usually our actions speak louder than our... We're going to camp in the book of Hebrews, which I love because it tells me that God loves coffee. We're going to camp in Hebrews, and who's watched a movie trailer before? Who's watched a movie trailer? I mean, 2-minute clip, it's full of action and drama and emotion and this tension to tease you to go and want to see it. Hebrews is the movie trailer of the Bible. It overviews the Bible, the Hebrews book, the book Hebrews, it's actually a letter. We don't know the author. There's many speculators, but no one knows who actually wrote Hebrews. It's a letter. It's an email to a group of people going through stuff, and it bridges the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see, before Jesus was crucified, God set up a system in the Old Covenant where people would bring a substitute. They would bring payment. In those days, the currency, if you like, was animals, and they would bring animals to the temple. They didn't have churches like we have now. It was a big temple, and God put in place what's called a high priest. The high priest was just a man, but they were put a set aside to represent us. We bring our offerings to the high priest, and the high priest offers it to the Lord. It's payment for sin. It's a substitute for sin. But that old covenant practice, that old system of substitution, had major limitations. And Hebrews highlights how much better the new covenant is to the old covenant. Now, Hebrews is a special book to me. For those who know my story, when I really got lordship, when I became a disciple of Jesus in March 93, and I wasn't much of a reader, I struggled. I had hearing problems, speech development problems. It's crazy that I'm now a preacher. Here I am at 1 a.m. in the morning, and I'm reading the entire book of Hebrews. And understanding the Spirit of God fills that place. 22 Harbor Ave, Mount Albert. God shows up. And I read Hebrews and understanding and the overview and the trailer of the entire Bible. Seeing the hand of Almighty God. Old Testament setting everything up for the Messiah, for Jesus. It's beautiful. And so this morning, our first installment, the title is Don't Shrink Back. You missed a good place to say hallelujah. Come on, people. Are you happy? Don't shrink back. Subtitle, how to overcome anything life throws at you. How to overcome anything life throws at you. Let me give you some background before we read the text. But in those days, becoming a Christian meant you were going to encounter soft and very hard persecution, maybe even imprisonment. And because of the pressure on the outside from, from the boss wanted to sack you, IID didn't want to pay you, the neighbors didn't want to know you, nobody wanted to trade with you, they'd ridicule you. Even in public, it tells us in the text coming up, they would mock you. Oh, there they go off to Auckland, every nation, Auckland City again. Look at those Christians over there. They'd stand you in the middle of the square. You were like a sect, you were a strange cult. Maybe a bit like Gloria Vale, like kind of slightly mocked, ridiculed, just shocking situation. And because of the heat, not only from the outside, but because of the doubt that was beginning to rise up on the inside, a whole bunch of them were considering going back to their old ways, their old life. Maybe today you're struggling with going back to your old life. The purpose of Hebrews, the reason the letter, the 13 chapters were written, the reason it was written is to encourage them not to let their faith shrink back. Let's turn to chapter 10, verse 32 to 39, and I'm going to read in the ESV version. Praise God. I hope I have no more mental slip-ups. My spirit is alive, but my brain, my body is a bit weary. Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. Let's stand to our feet if we could, family. We just believe in giving you a workout at church. But recall the former things, when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully, get this, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, everyone say therefore. Do not throw away your confidence, which you have, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For, and here we go, the writer of Hebrews combines a little text from Isaiah and Habakkuk. It's very interesting, a fusion. For, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one, speaking of God, shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Father, take your word, explode it in our hearts, change us and make us different, we pray. In your wonderful name, amen. The writer of Hebrews is asking what happened. Verse 32 to 34, he's going, what happened? To use a modern interpretation of this, he grabbed his phone and he wrote to everyone. He had a group chat and he said, dude, I remember when you first met Jesus. You were so in love with him. You were so strong, so on fire. You endured all kinds of things, even suffering for them. Sometimes you were even ridiculed in front of your classmates and your workmates, but it didn't matter what happened to you. You were so spiritually alive, loving your new relationship with Jesus. Even when the authorities came and plundered your property and stole your iPhone and took your Subaru Legacy, your faith was so strong that you joyfully accepted it because you knew that God was in ultimate control and your Heavenly Father will look after you. Man, your faith was so great. But now you're thinking of going back? What happened? You had something so powerful, but now it's lost. What was it? And the text that we just wrote, verse 35 onwards, gives the answer. The writer asks the questions, what happened? And then he tells them what's really happened. Let me tell you what's happened, people. Life happened. Life. Struggle, pressure, redundancies, sickness, Family, relationships, struggles, and distractions of life had caused the confidence in God to drift. Have you ever been to a beach before with a current? We've got some of the most beautiful, I think, world-renowned beaches in our country. One of those beautiful beaches is Piha. All up the west coast, in fact, up to Murawai. Please get out there. Black sand, beautiful. But they've got strong currents, and you can get out there and you can swim and have a good time. You can kind of lose sight of the shore and the people and the flags from, you know, the yellow and the red flags, whatever they call those things. And you can be out there. I was into surfing at one point. You can be out there. And you can get so distracted with whatever you're doing in the sea and out there in the waves. You look up and you see, my goodness me, I didn't realize it, but I drifted. A current underneath took me down the beach. Sadly, people lose their lives. They were unaware, but they had the drift happening on. The drift was going on. These people, these Christians, their faith had begun to drift. And the writer of Hebrews cries out, do not throw your confidence in God away. Keep pressing on. Don't lose heart. The devil is lying to you, friend. Victory is near. God knows what he's doing. That's what the writer's saying. Do not throw away your confidence, for you have need of endurance. Everyone say endurance. Endurance comes from confidence. Confidence in God. Being confident in God automatically energizes you. It produces a perseverance. Man, whether it's an underdog sports team that's trying their best, or a startup company that's competing with the big boys, or maybe it's an inspiring movie. We all love comeback stories, don't we? We pay money to go to the big screen to watch comeback stories. We're gripped by drama. We're impressed by people who don't quit and keep believing and keep going. Possibly my favorite illustration of this, my favorite movie maybe of all time. I mean, I love Braveheart. I can tell you that gets me pumped. But this one, really, a more recent movie, Hacksaw Ridge, a true story about Private Desmond Doss. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor despite refusing to bear arms. He went to war without carrying a rifle. In World War II, he won the respect and the adoration for bravery, selflessness, and compassion after he risked his own life, no gun, going into enemy fire. Can you believe it? He went there without firing one shot, and he rescued 75 men in the Battle of Onikawa. He had a confidence in God, if you know the story. He was a believer. He believed. I don't share that belief, but he believed that a Christian should not pick up arms. That was his conviction. He had confidence in God. His faith was tested, if you remember. It even threatened his newly formed relationship. He was engaged to a young girl who said, don't worry, it's only a gun. She also was a believer. She just began to, and he stuck to his convictions. Anyone mean that scene? Remember that scene? He thought, I want to. But he just could not deny. And he actually punched the wall and blood was coming out. He injured himself. But he said, I'm confident in my God. I'm going to be confident in my faith. And he was confident that his life mattered and that he was going to make a difference. He was confident in God, that God had put within him a purpose, my friend. And the confidence produced the ability to endure and overcome obstacles. We love these kinds of movies. They move us. They inspire us. They stir up greatness. I want to tell you today, listen to me. The trial you're going through right now, that you're facing right now, is your moment of greatness. Desmond Doss had his moment. This is your moment to rise up. Private Desmond Doss, he's up in the cloud of witnesses, the Bible talks in Hebrews 12. He's saying today, don't give up. This is your moment, my friend. Do not throw away your confidence. You throw it away. It's never stolen from you. You give it away. Don't throw your confidence in God. Don't let the enemy diminish and dilute and distract you from believing in God and trusting God and moving forward, the ability to overcome great obstacles. Do not give up. Keep pressing on. God is doing something. If it's one thing I'm learning at the moment through my studies, is the providential hand of God that absolutely will do what he wants to do. He'll even use pagan people to outwork his promises and his word. If you take a biblical view of history, it's beautiful. God is at move in your life, friend, and you will overcome. But where does confidence come from? If endurance feeds off, fueled by confidence, where does this confidence come from? I'm not talking about those kinds of people that are, you know, they kind of like wear power suits and, you know, they're just kind of like out there, the extrovert, they look like so confident. I'm not talking about that confidence. Although that confidence still gives endurance. The principle applies wherever you go. Sports teams win and lose on confidence. It applies a principle of life. But I'm talking about confidence in God. Not on yourself. Where does it come from? If endurance comes from confidence, what is confidence built on? Confidence in God, what is it built on? Whatever it is, it's something incredibly powerful. It's something so potent that followers of Jesus for millennia have gladly endured hardship. It's something that's potent that people will even get burnt at the stake. All the disciples, they lost their lives for the gospel, and even today, people, just reading an article this week in China, pastors been killed. They called it the resolution of rebellion. They wrote a letter, come what may, we will not deny Christ. And they told their congregation, if we are taken aside and we are taken, publish the letter. You want to read the letter? It gets you on your knees and praying. Saying, dear God, I get upset when they haven't got chocolate ice cream and I've got to have a vanilla. Confidence is built on something that was in you when you first met Jesus Christ. Confidence, something that doesn't rely upon your talent. It's built on something beyond our intelligence, our education, our wealth. Friend, that something will not even be destroyed because of our failures. It remains. I've already shared with you. Drunkards, murderers, liars, prostitutes. They were found to have great faith. Even with our failure and our fallibility, he still uses us for great, great endeavor. This something I talk about, friend, is real and it's essential for overcoming anything that life throws at you. This something was in the heart of Abraham, in the heart of Moses. It was in the heart of Caleb, in Rahab and Paul and Noah and countless others. This something, ladies and gentlemen, that produces within you a deep wellspring of confidence in God is a genuine love in him and an authentic trust in Jesus. A genuine love. And an authentic trust in Jesus. I'm not talking churchianity. I'm talking Christianity. I'm not talking about going to meetings. I'm talking about knowing Jesus. I'm talking about having a relationship with him. If you have a relationship with him and you turn to him at the first sign of trauma and the first sign of disappointment, friend, he will sustain you. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will nurture you. He will hold you. Praise the Lord. You see, the Hebrew believers were once passionate for Jesus. Oh man, they used to attend church every Sunday. They'd come early. They're on the front row, man. Sorry, back row, I'm not having a go at you now. I'm just saying. They come early, they're on the front row, and they're singing loud. These Hebrew believers, they were attending every prayer meeting. And they're fasting with their church. These believers, they used to read the Bible every day. And they'd want to. They'd share their faith. These Hebrew believers, their conscience would speak at the slightest threat of compromise. But now all that is drifting away. What happened? What happened was when things got tough, They started looking to other things and other people and not Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who are the witnesses, friend? Abraham, Moses, Noah, Paul, Rahab, Sarah, Caleb, Jairus, your great-grandmother who's a believer, anybody who's passed up, they're in heaven right now. Private Desmond Doss. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on from heaven itself. Because we have that great encouraging cloud of witnesses, friend, where all the believers, including my precious Chinese pastor, all across, known and unknown, all in heaven cheering us on. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us. Where does energy? Where does energy to endure come from? The next three words. Are you ready? Looking to Jesus. Behold, there's a clue. To run the race, this race of Christianity, it's not a 400-meter track race on a beautiful, flat, cushioned track with our special shoes and a big crowd of people, friend. This race that we're running is a cross-country race, friend. It is cross-country. There's boulders and ravines and there's broken ankles and there's logs of timber. There's no track that's been formed in some cases. This is a cross-country endurance race, my friend. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, you've got all the cloud of wood. How did they get through? How did they win the race? Oh, my friend, they got through by looking to Jesus. What you look at really matters. Looking to Jesus is the key to victory. It's the key. It's to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus, having faith in Jesus. Oh, I can't see what's going to happen. Jesus, God, where are you? Jesus, focus on Jesus, not your feelings. Jesus, grab the Word of God. Grab this brochure we've been working through, this booklet, man. Keep that by your Bible. It's got confessions in there. It'll build your faith. Hallelujah. Simple message today, friend. Part one. Addressing a bunch of people who are backsliding. They hadn't completely gone. Some had already gone. Some had gone back to their Jewish religion. This is too hard. Back to all the practices, back to all the old, even after knowing Jesus. Too hard, too difficult, I'm gone. There's a whole bunch more that were thinking and they're wavering. They're wavering. Some of you here today have been wavering. Enjoying a bit of the world and enjoying a bit of God, and there's compromise, there's wavering going on. I don't want to get persecuted. You just got this internal wavering. And the gracious, merciful God today wants to bring us to a place of clearly and boldly trusting Him and saying, God, I want to trust you. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to renew many people's faith today. The Holy Spirit wants to strengthen our faith today. I want to tell you, keep believing, keep trusting God. I know you've had disappointments, so have I. I still have them, my friend. Dreams that have been crushed, still have them. But that won't stop me from pressing on and keeping my eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, the temptations are there. But you've got to keep pressing on to Jesus. And I'm telling you, He's forging within you a strength in the inner man. He's creating in with you and building a faith, friend. You will not build faith without opposition. It is obstacles that produces faith as we rely upon Him. Can I get the worship team to come on up, please? The whole team would be beautiful. I want you to catch this. If you feel weak today, if you feel, man, Pastor, I've made a lot of mistakes. Some of them I've never shared with anybody. If you feel, wow, God, I don't know, God, I don't know, Pastor, if I can come back to God. I've been going through the motions, but inside, I know I haven't been living right inside. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've taken your eyes off Jesus. I want want to tell you something today. The Bible tells me that Jesus understands. Today is a message of grace. Jesus understands. In fact, in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that Jesus has compassion towards you. Chapter 4, verse 14, it says, we have a great high priest that represents us to God, who has passed through the heavens. Who came through the heavens to earth? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Can you see the picture here? On one hand, we have a confession. On one hand, we confessed our sins to the Lord. On one hand, we confessed our faith in Jesus. But on the other hand, we're tempted. Oh, those temptations, friend. I wonder, have you ever experienced temptations? I confess my faith in Him, but the temptations are real. The temptations are daily. They're relentless. Here they are. And we take our eyes off Jesus and we become weak. And the devil tells us to quit. But God today is telling you, hold fast to your confession. There's three types of fast, at least. Number one, running fast, quick fast. Then there's going without food fast. This is talking about holding fast, like fasten your seatbelt. I remember when I was a boy, we had a creek across the road in Pakuranga. Back in those days, you could actually safely swim in a creek. I don't think you can now. We all jumped in there, me and the boys, and my foot got stuck in the mud and the water's coming and I really couldn't swim. And I was beginning to drown. Never forgotten it. Living at 91 Ennis Ave, Pakuranga. Phone number 568-562, only six digits. Gasping for breath and trying to get it to survive. One of the guys jumped in. I'm telling you, when that guy came in, the older guy, got close to me, I held on for dear life. If you don't hang on to Jesus, you'll drift. And the writer of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 39 in our text will say you'll be destroyed. The enemy's whispering the lies of temptations. I know what I say, I believe, but life has taken its toll. I've got my eyes off Jesus, my own strength, sin and other things, weights, things of. We've got to hold on. Hold fast to your confession. Like life depends upon it. Oh, Pastor, what can I do? I've made so many mistakes. I've turned my back on God so many times, but I want to come back. What do I do? Friend, Jesus knows that you and I are weak. He knows that we need help. And that's why He gave us verse 16. It's beautiful. Look at this. Let us then with confidence. Because the high priest has made a sacrifice, because Jesus, who was sacrificed, the great Lamb of God, who also understands, has compassion and sympathizes for our weakness. He understands that we are full of temptation. He says, have confidence. Oh, my friend, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you can draw near to the throne of grace. Why? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God says, come to me. Look at me. Keep looking at me. Set your heart on me. I love this. The entire purpose of the high priest is to let us draw near to God. Let me repeat that. The purpose of the high priest in the old covenant and the purpose of Jesus, high priest, new covenant, is that we can draw close to God, to the Holy of Holies. even if you're murderers, liars, sex workers, drunkards, and Richard Urban. We can draw close to Him. Don't shrink back. Draw near to God. Don't shrink back. Draw near to God. The enemy wants to condemn you. That's what those whispers are saying all the time. But Jesus said, hey, I understand. I understand. Don't believe the enemy. He wants to destroy you. So that's what's at stake, your whole spiritual life. Let's stand to our feet if we can. You may feel far from God. Maybe, my friend, you've shrunk back. You once were close to God. And you really loved Him. But your faith has grown weak. Today, if you want that faith to be strong, today, if you want to draw near to God with a sincere heart, He will forgive you. He will renew and strengthen your faith. Some of us can be battle weary from fighting. We're just maybe doing it in our own strength. And we need God just to come and refresh our faith. Today, I have this so clearly in my heart. We're going to sing a song shortly. And we're going to open the altar up. And I want there to be an opportunity as a prophetic action. Sometimes God calls us to do things in the natural as a physical demonstration of the spiritual. I'm going to invite you, if your faith is weak, if you've actually been wavering in your faith, if you actually have made some mistakes, feeling distant from God, that doesn't have to be. That can change right now. If you ask God to forgive you, He understands. He will cleanse you and wash you, as 1 John 1:9 says. By coming forward, you're demonstrated by each footstep coming forward to this altar right here. You're pushing the devil back. You're pushing against the enemy, and you're drawing near to God. Don't shrink back. Draw near. Why? That you may receive mercy and find grace to help you in a time of need. Let's close our eyes. Father, right now I pray for every heart, every soul. Let's just close all of our eyes. Let's just have this moment right now, friend. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would strengthen the saints, those that are backslidden or have let go of their confession. It's slipping. Lord, today I pray You do something beautiful, that they would reclaim that place, that first love, that love for You, Jesus. Today, Lord, we set our eyes upon You, Jesus, our great compassionate High Priest, our Lamb of God, our author and our finisher of our faith, and everything in between. We look to You, Jesus. Great are You, Lord. Friend, if you want to begin to come down, just slip out from your chair. Please come on down. As we begin to sing, just feel free to come down. If you need God to touch you, if you need the Holy Spirit to restore that first love, to strengthen your faith, then as we begin to sing, I want you to slip out. Be bold. Draw near to God.